So, relationship is a spiritual concept. The original principle is in the spiritual world. And then, that's reflected here into the material world. So when the living entity comes to the material world, then they're able to, they continue to look for relationships. But unfortunately, because the understanding of how relationships work is not proper, then there will be difficulty. Everyone needs people, everyone needs to have some value in life, some goals, some people to share that with, but unfortunately, they have difficulty finding how these things will work properly, how relationships will work properly. So, basic misunderstanding will be because we might make the mistake that the relationship is about us. So the idea is we exist and the relationship should mean others dealing with us. But the nature of relationship is that it must go out. We are who we are, and if it goes out to the other person, then naturally they are going to reciprocate by they come out towards us. Does that make sense? So what's happening is people think, I'm the center, it should all come to me. And each one thinks that, so nothing happens. If everyone thinks relationship means I have to make that endeavor to interact with the other person, then you have relationships. Things happen. So instead of worrying about our pleasure and our needs, we worry about others. That's not at the expense of us dealing properly, dealing according to what we need, putting ourselves in situations that we're comfortable in. In other words, there's a situation. Within that situation, you're comfortable. So that's the situation in which you want to interact with others. So that's natural. So one sees that relationships are happening in environments you're comfortable with. In other words, what your values are, in other words, what your goals are, that should be what the other person is also feeling. So there can be a relationship, a friendship amongst equals. You can't have a friendship if there's not a common ground. There has to be a common ground of interaction. That way, when you interact on that platform of that's common, then you can work for how the other person will be happy in that environment under those situations, and they can work for yours. Does that make sense? So, the difficulty comes is that we are not, we expect the other person has to come forward first. Until that happens, we won't respond. But basically, that only works if you're God. It works for God that way because He is everything. Everything's coming from Him. All situations, all kinds of relationships, all experiences, they're all coming from Him. So, He could interact on any platform. So, depending upon how you interact with Him, He'll respond in that way. So that principle of one means seeing how they deal with you, that's fine if you're God. If you're not, then basically it's what you are expecting from the other person. That should be clear because that's what you're drawn. So since people aren't unlimited like the Supreme Lord, they basically need to know what it is you're looking for, what kind of situations, what's the environment of interaction. And basically, that's why people, means in the tradition, they ask so many questions. Where are you from? You know, what do you do? You know, what's the family name? All these things, because in the past, they would mean something. Right? You know, if your name in England is Coalfield, there's a good chance that somebody in the past worked or owned a coal field. You know, your name's Smith, it means somebody who was working as a blacksmith. So then you would know what is the social standing, what is that, then you know what's common. Right? That would be the basic thing. They just want to know so that you know what to talk about, how to interact, what is the conversation. Right? So that's the point. You're talking with intellectual, talk about education or different branches of knowledge, you're talking with administrators, then it's power, politics, you're talking with businessmen, it's money and opportunities, you're talking with general people, then it will be according to what is their interest. Right? So unless there's something common, there won't be anything based on to interact with. So the Vedic system is designed that one should know what is common ground. Right? Because otherwise one may find somebody, one, you know, there's a nice mood you like. So that's in that situation. That situation, that mood came up, that interaction, nice. Change the situation, mood changes. Then you don't know who you're dealing with. So one has to have some kind of understanding so that one can get a broader range, right? Because nowadays, especially, you don't have the different elements that someone from a certain background has certain values. Everything is so mixed, right? So it's not clear. So one must know, one must find out. So, and in doing that, then one must be careful, one must be sensitive, one must see what's there. If one's not careful, one's not sensitive, then how is one going to know what is arranged there? So, if it's men to men, women to women, less of a problem. More direct. But if it's man to woman, woman to man, then you have a difference. And so, unless there's a social commonality that you and your life and your background has the same kind of understandings and values as another person, then you don't have to worry so much. A little bit of minimal, you'll figure it out. But in the present day, everyone from everywhere, all social different ranges of things and experiences, desires are different, then one's going to have to inquire, one's going to have to ask. Unfortunately, just you put men and women together, they always feel nice, they always feel happy. So when they're happy, they figure this is perfect, this will last forever, right? The living entity is eternal by nature, so they think everything's going to be eternal. The living entity is looking for happiness, right? The jiva is ananda, or happiness, and so then they think if there's happiness, everything will work very nicely. So with these two illusions, everything's eternal, everything's happy, you think it's all great. But then the moment changes, things are different. So it's only through proper understanding, through knowledge, through actual understanding of what is appropriate endeavor, then one can properly have a relationship. Now, one may say, well, why do we need relationships? As we mentioned in the beginning, that's the position. The living entity being an energy of the Lord, energy is dependent upon energetic, so it's dependent. So living entity is only satisfied if they're connected with others. And ultimately only satisfied when that connection goes back to the Supreme Lord. Right? Otherwise, one will be dissatisfied. Because even if you have some nice situation now, at some point, the body's temporary. Somebody's going to leave. You're going to go, they're going to go. Then what? Right? Then, next birth, you have to start all over again. Right? So that cannot be satisfying to the living entity. So one has to try to see the relationships in connection with the Lord. The Lord's eternal. We're eternal. Then that relationship, that'll work. It'll satisfy one in this lifetime. But from that interaction, you're connecting yourself to the Lord. Connecting yourself to the Lord, then you go to the spiritual world. Their relationships are eternal. Then you don't have to worry about it. You work that out once there, it's done. You don't have to worry like here. So, now to get anything done, another aspect is anything that comes to you, good or bad, whatever it is, whatever you deserve or whatever you think you don't deserve, right, is going to come to you from another living entity. Right? It's not going to just come from nowhere. Like a little puff of smoke. You're walking down the road, and then there's a little puff of smoke, and then there's a wall there, and you bump into it. No, it doesn't work like that. Right? There is a whole process that through another living entity, you will get whatever is due to you, good or bad. So in any way, you are connected with other living entities. So the Vedic concept is a sense we might as well, therefore, learn to live with everybody else. Then, because this everybody else is part of this creation, then we might as well learn to live with everybody else in understanding how you and how they connect with this creation. And how this creation is then coming from glory. Right? In other words, since you're going to go to so much trouble in relationships, you might as well know everything about it. Right? It's not that much more trouble. Right? Does that make sense? You know, you ask the husband, he's thinking he can't figure out his wife. He's been living together for 20 years, he still doesn't know what's going on. Right? So, can it be that much more difficult? What means that much, difficulty is there, take a few more steps and understand this connection with God. Right? Does that make sense? Because ultimately, then, yeah. So the idea is, since we have to be with other people, since we have to interact, we might as well learn how relationships work. So then in this basic science, you have three parts. You have the relationship itself. You have what can be gained from that relationship in the way of whatever it is that one's looking for. And what is the process of interaction. Right? Because relationship means there's an interaction. Right? So knowledge means to understand who you are, who's God, who's this creation. And in this creation means there's all kinds of other living entities and all kinds of other things. So you have to know. It means you can walk through a door, you can't walk through a wall. Right? You can walk through a window, but generally a window's there to let in the light, but not to walk through. Because if you walk through a window, there's a good chance there's not a hole. The ground is a little bit more distant than you would like. Plus, windows, when they break, you can get cut. Understand? Simple things. So this is the field of action. So in relation, you have to know the field. Who are you? You as one really know who you are. What do you actually want? If you don't know what you want, no one else will either. You want someone to have a relationship with you. You want them to know how to interact with you. If you don't know who you are, they won't know either. It's simple. You're comfortable with who you are. They're comfortable with you. You're not comfortable with you. They're not comfortable. Quite simple. You know the field, then you know what are your options for interaction, right? So there's you, there's other living entities, there's the environment that you're in, there's the mood that's there. So this is time, place, and circumstance, right? Because these things affect relationship, right? The husband's with the wife at home, They joke a bit, it works. The husband and wife are out at a formal gathering, the joking does not work. Simple. Why? Because the place is different, the time is different. Right? Or it was in the evening, they're together in the house, they're joking and laughing, but now it's the next morning, early morning, now the husband tries to joke and laugh, it doesn't work. Why? Time is different. Circumstances same, right? But time is different, so mood is different. Understand? So action depends upon time, place, and circumstance. So you don't understand that, you won't know what can be gained at this time, and therefore you will not know how to work. Does this make sense? So in anything. Okay. The brahmachari comes into the ashram at 7 o'clock at night. He turns on the lights. He opens up this and that, gets out all his plastic bags, rustles around, makes plenty of noise. Nobody cares. The brahmachari comes into the same ashram at 12 o'clock at night, turns on the light, gets out his bags, rustles around. All the other brahmacharis start yelling and screaming. Why? The time is different. The situation is therefore different. So if you're not aware of these things, your relationships will have problems. Because why? You're not aware of the situation. It's science. Right? Not rocket science. It's just science. It's logical. You don't understand. Everybody else in the room is asleep. Right? The lights are out. Why? Because they want to sleep. Right? When you sleep, you like the lights off. So therefore, if you turn the lights on, that's good for you. You can see where your stuff is, but it's bad for everyone else because they can't sleep. Right? Then on top of that, you start opening this and that, making all kinds of noise. Right? Amazingly, they do make plastic bags that don't make much noise, but no, brahmacharis have to have the bags that make the most noise. You just touch them, you know, it sounds like thunder, right? Like that. Why? Because they last a long time, really good bags, right? So, this is a problem. Right? So, it's inconsiderate. That's why everybody else gets upset. So you can think, well, I can just try to get into bed and try to do this and that, but it won't be so perfect for me. So they should understand. The funny is how, you know, five other people have to understand, but you as one person can't understand. They're asleep and they're happy. Right? Does it make sense? So these are where problems come up. Somebody just said, this is what I feel like, so this is what I'm going to do. That's nice, but as we mentioned, the feeling like and what you do are connected. So if what you feel like and what can be done is wrong, you will get a bad result. Then you can't figure out, well, yesterday I did like this, it was fine. Why today it's different? So what's the problem? You think it's the other person. It's nothing to do with the other person. It's yourself. You're unaware of the situation. Right? Does that make sense? So, that's it. Then there is, whatever is the relationship, there are goals of that relationship, things that can be obtained. There's elements that are natural for that relationship. Right? You have friends, the goal is you're going to have fun. You know, you can, you know, do things together, you know, talk together, do whatever you like together. Right? So that works there. You're equals, so it works that way. Right? Sometimes you do what you want to do, sometimes you do what your friends want to do. It's a natural balance. Right? But father, you know, parent and child, that's different. It's not you hang around and go wrestling like that. Okay, if you're 3 years old, maybe. You know, but when you're bigger, it's not like that. It's a different mood. So what can be obtained? They can give knowledge, they can give direction, they can help you out, they can set you up. Right? You can, ask your advice, you can show your appreciation. These are the things that you can do, that you can accomplish, that will get you the taste or rasa or in that relationship. Right? Conjugal relationship then is different again. Right? That would be that will have the element, all the other elements in it, but you have to know when that element is there. Right? Friendship is there. When you plan, do things together, that's friendship. When one is taking care of the other, either physically or emotionally, because of some difficulty or that, that's parental. Right? If there's that intimacy, that closeness, that's conjugal. Right? Now and again, then there's the element of service, trying to take care, doing those things. Wife is doing things around the house, the husband's out, you know, trying to collect money. These things, so it's service. But you have to know what mood happens when. If you're not aware of the environment, it will fail. It will fail. Now, in this, then we see what can be obtained, or the goal, right? That means based on what can be obtained is a process, right? Just like if you want lunch, then there's a process of cooking, right? Not if you want lunch, you go out and put, you know, fix your tire on your car, right? No, you want to drive, you fix the tire on your car. You want lunch, you cook. You understand the process is directly connected to the result. Wrong process, wrong result. So if you're getting the wrong result, what does that mean logically? Wrong process, right? How many people would have accepted that? No, it's got to be the other person. There's something wrong with the other people. No, we're following the wrong process. Why would we follow the wrong process? We don't understand the relationship. Or we don't understand the situation of the relationship. Therefore, we don't understand what goal can be gained. Or we have a false idea of what you do gets what. You know what I'm saying? You know, like the boys that, you know, the small, younger boys at school, then they think by harassing the girls, throwing things at them, and calling them bad names is going to make them, you know, love them. Process doesn't work. You understand? So sometimes we come up with a false idea of what a process should be. Oh, if you put this on, it'll be so cool, everyone will think it's that. You go out and everybody else is wearing the same thing, so it's nothing special, right? Everybody thinks it's that. Right? Does that make sense? Okay, now, in this then, the field of activity, in other words, understanding, in here we have two things. Sambandha means relationship. Prayojana means goal. Abhideya is process. So now, in this, we're starting with God in His creation. So God is the masculine principle, the origin. He's the existence. He is everything. He is the cause of everything. Then He expands His creation. That's the feminine aspect. Right? Now, that has all the opulence, all the experiences, all those different things. The other has the knowledge. So what you're doing is combining the masculine-feminine principles, right? So this can either mean masculine-feminine, mean just which is the active and passive aspect, right? Or, you know, like let's say a hammer and a nail, right? So the nail is the feminine aspect, the hammer is the masculine aspect, right? If the hammer doesn't do something, the nail doesn't do anything either. Right? You can sit around all day and yell and scream with these stupid nails. They don't do anything. I brought all these nails to spend so much money to get these nails to put all these boards together, and nothing's happening. Why? Because there's no hammer interacting. You understand? Right? You and your car. You can sit there and yell and scream at the car why it's not driving down the road, but you're not driving. You're not doing something. Right? So that's the way it is. The parents say, you know, the kids are, you know, yelling and screaming, running around, being crazy, but is the parent doing something about that? Or just letting it happen? You understand? So if there's no interaction between the two principles, there's no result. Right? So generally when we're dealing with things, it's quite easy to understand. Right? You know who you are. You know what the thing is that you're working with. You know the relationship. You know what the thing can do. You know how by dealing with that thing you can get that result you want. Straightforward. Right? Very simple. Generally most people who spend a little time with anything, either by practice, by association, or by education, can become quite good at dealing with things. Right? You have a potato, you have a knife, you have a cutting board. You know the relationship, right? How do you put it? Potato, cutting board, knife. Knife, potato, cutting board, right? You could put the potato, cutting knife there, put the potato on top, and then whack the potato with the cutting board. You could do that, right? But why does it work? It works, it's slow, because it's basically the opposite of what it should be. So you got it in line, right? You know, but if I take the potato, put the cutting board, and then whack the cutting board with the knife, probably nothing will happen. Right? So, you know what the cutting board does. It supports. It allows cutting to go on without getting damaged, right? It doesn't damage itself. It doesn't damage the knife. You put the potato in between the knife and the cutting board. You use the sharp side of the knife. You apply some pressure. The potato gets cut, right? You use the back of the knife. You have to apply a little bit more pressure, right? And when you hold the knife, you hold the handle. You don't hold the blade. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. So all these things are there when they say, oh, you know, Vedic is so technical. But it took a few minutes to describe the potato, the board, and the knife, and the relationship, and actually how you work it, right? So that's all the Veda is telling you when you do Achman. It's that simple. It takes you 7 seconds, but it takes up a whole page. So by practice, something difficult becomes very easy. Right? So now you have that, you get that, because your goal is to get a potato that's cut up. So then you have it. So now, if you push harder, then the knife needs to be done. Right? It means how much you need to cut the potato. If you push less, it won't cut. If you push too much, your knife might get stuck in the board. Right? Does that make sense? So you are careful on how you're dealing with the knife. If it's not cutting, then the knife is not sharp. You'll sharpen the knife. Right? Does that make sense? Right. If you keep your finger too close and you get cut, was it the knife's fault? Must be the potato's fault. You know? Well, then if it's not the potato, then at least it has to be the cutting board's fault, right? No, it's your fault. Why? Because you're operating it. Right? So all these things seem so elementary, so simple. Right? So ordinary. Any idiot knows this. Right? Okay. But replace that knife, cutting board, and the potato with a person. And all these same principles that should be applied, we don't. Because a person has feeling, so we go by our feelings, and whatever we feel like, we think that's reality, and that will happen. Does that make sense? This is where the problem comes up. We can deal with dead matter fine, but if the dead matter talks, then we have a problem. But it's the same principle. Who are you? Who's the other person? What's the relationship? So therefore, what's the proper way of dealing? What is the goal of that relationship? So you act in such a way that you get the goal. If you're not getting the goal, it's not their fault, it's your fault. Right? The man is expert at his business. He's so much money. He's expert at driving his car. He's a good, you know, for a hobby, he's a great carpenter. He can make all the furniture in his house. You know, he goes out, he's great at golfing. All these different things he knows. Here's the ball, here's the little thing like this. You whack it with this iron, it goes down there and falls into the hole, and people go, "Hari ball." Right? But he doesn't expect the ball to do it, or the anything else. The thing, he hits it and it goes into the bushes. He doesn't go, "Oh, those stupid bushes, they jumped out and took my ball." He knows I hit it into the bushes. Right? If his car skids off the road, he knows he was driving too fast in the conditions. Right? The business fails, he knows I made a mistake. Right? But when he walks in the door at home, then he's unaware of what his wife's mood is. He thinks it should be this, but it's not, it's that. Just like you think the road should be perfectly smooth, no cars, no rain, and, you know, a truck that went by didn't, you know, drop some sand on the road. But the point is when you get to the corner, it's wet and there's sand and stuff, then you be careful, you'll slow down. Why? Because you're aware. Right? The market changes. You adjust your business because you're aware. Right? You're doing anything. You're riding your bicycle. Anything changes. You're aware. You change it. But the man walks in the door to his house. He thinks his wife should be like this. And if she's not, then it's her fault. You understand? So simple. So simple. But, you know, we just don't accept it. No, because I want it to be like this. So what? If it went by one, everybody would be, you know, a billionaire. Everyone would be, you know, a model on the front of Vogue. You know, everyone would be, you know, just you could go on and on and on with the list. Right? But it's not like that. You know how to work, you get a result. You don't know how to work, you get no result. So you don't apply these things into the situation, it won't work. Right? So that means the situation, the different elements, the relationships and all that, that is what has to be applied towards the goal. Does that make sense? You understand that, and that works. So in this, we see is that, any questions on this?
Cultivating new people, especially those kind of people who don't have much contact to our culture, and they basically just know you as a person, and you are basically always the one who starts the interaction, and then they respond positively, they take books or whatever, or something like that, but they never take the first move.
They never take the first move, they don't. That means, what's your point?
So after contacting them, sometimes should...
It means you want to interact with someone else, but you don't know them so well, or they don't know you. Right? Is that what you're saying? You know each other, but they don't interact first. So therefore, if you want to interact with them, you act first. But as soon as you act, you always have to see if your action, what response it gets, what result it gets. Right? Does that make sense? So you contact them, and their response is positive, you continue in that way. If it's negative, you change how you deal it. You know what I'm saying? What are you saying? Just like you're driving, you do something, and it starts to give a negative result, you change what you're doing. You figure out what are the options. You know what I'm saying? So that's not a problem. Point is if they don't, they only will respond, then that's fine. You take the first step. You know what I'm saying? But once you take the first step, you see how they respond. How they respond, then you do again. Then how they respond, you do. So that's how it works.
So as long as the response is positive, you can...
As long as the response is positive, then?
That I always do the first.
No, it's not a matter. It's a matter of if you deal and they don't respond well, you have to find a different way of dealing. If you need to interact with them. If you don't need to interact with them, then don't. in some sense, but if you do need to interact, then you find what works. You know, like try different things, talk in different ways, talk different subjects, different tones of voice, different kinds of language. Right? That makes sense.
How to ascertain goals in the relationship?
You want others to behave accordingly. Okay, you want others to behave in a certain way. The first thing you have to see is your relationship with them such that they should behave in that way? You're the brahmacharya, you walked into the brahmacharya ashram. You may want everybody to suddenly stand up and start cheering and whistling, you know, and jumping around and going hari bo, but that may not be actually the relationship. You know, you wash the pots, they're all the book distributors. It may not work that way. You know what I'm saying? And so it's a matter of you have to know what is the relationship, so what can be there, right? Does that make sense? So, you don't expect something that's not going to happen. You had a bad day, so you come back and you expect everyone's going to come up and go, oh, what happened, you know, this and that, work it all out for you. But it may not happen that way. That may not be the relationship you cultivated. Do you do that with them? Do you have that kind of friendship that they're going to interact with you like that? Right? You know what I'm saying? It's one thing to expect, but it's another thing that you actually, that's the relationship. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Maharaj, I have two questions, but in relationships between devotees, are they based on your spiritual relationship, or is there influence of one's material conditioning? And what if in relationships between devotees, the material conditioning or the previous interests before Krishna consciousness, they become dominating?
Okay, means if someone means, are the relationships between devotees pure? What do you mean by purely spiritual? What does that mean, purely spiritual?
It's not
it's like just like Brahman, it's just like a light. You come into the room and this other light just gets bigger. Like that, you know, something out of like Star Trek or like that.
But it's not based on one's material conditioning.
It's not based on one's material conditioning. So what would it be based on? The fact that you are a spiritual soul. So how does one spirit soul interact with another spirit soul? By serving Krishna, what are you going to serve with?
With a material body.
With a material body, and that's created by? What's that created from?
Matter.
Matter, but why does the matter take that shape?
Because of one's previous activities.
One's previous activities, which are known as? And which are dependent upon one's?
Modes of nature.
Which is indicative of one's right? You know what I'm saying? That means you meet another devotee and you pat him on the back. What are you going to pat him on the back with? With a hand. And then there's a bat. How does that all work? Because that's all actually made out of the results of your conditioned nature. So how is that purely spiritual? Because purely spiritual is just, you know, two one-ten-thousandth of the tip of the air floating and communing through, I guess, telepathy or something, you know, out of some sci-fi book or something. You understand? The difficulty comes is because we're conditioned to thinking spiritual means nothing like the material, right? Now, it's nothing like the material in its quality of mentality or the purity, but in form, it's going to be exactly the same. Right. Mother Yashoda wants to put on Krishna's chadar. Right? She's dressing it in the morning. What is she going to use? What will she use?
Hands.
Hands, okay. Now, let us say you have a mother in the material world, devotee, but still in the material world, and as far as we know, not a specific, a scheduled incarnation or something. So they are dealing with a body made out of earth, water, fire, air, and ether, right? And their son is the same, right? Not the same meaning in the impersonal sense that they're one, but means he's also made out of body of the Mahabhutas, right? Now, when she dresses him and she puts his chadar on, what is she going to use? Her hands. So this is the problem, because we don't connect that mothers in the spiritual world dress their kids with the same kind of concept as mothers in the material world dress. Why would it be the same? What's the simplest direct answer? Principle of dressing, but you know, how does it come into the material world? It's a reflection, right? So the reflection is the same, right? You have a head, you look in the mirror, what kind of head will be there?
It's the same, but something's opposite.
Same, but something's opposite. Okay, so that's it, it's the perverted reflection. It's exactly the same concept, but the mentality is different. Mother Yashoda is trying to please Krishna, right, who's God. The mother in the material world is trying to please herself or her kid, whereas God in it. That's the perversion. Reflection's the same. Right? Mother Yashoda worries about Krishna's food and his protection and health, that he's dressed nicely, that he goes to bed on time, that he gets up on time. The mother here does exactly the same thing. Does that make sense? So, when you define, therefore, now let's go back to your question. How do you define spiritual?
It's based on the mood of pleasing Krishna.
Yes, that's it. If it's connected to Krishna, it's spiritual. It's not connected to Krishna, it's material. That's all. But the form between the two is the same. You understand? That must be understood, otherwise relationships can't be understood. That's why then it's that, okay, as a karmi, then, you know, as one of those, you know, stinky, smelly karmis, right? Then, you know, you meet somebody, you're nice to them, you say hello, you interact nicely and all that, you might shake their hand or whatever it is you're doing. You know, when you come into your house and other people are there, you know, say I'm here, say this and that, right? No? Like that. And, you know, because you're living in that house, you know, there's duties expected, you know, you keep it nice and clean, you keep your stuff nicely, you'll do service around the house, right? No? Yeah. But now, that's material life, right? Stinky, smelly, karmi, you know, funky, dirty, right? Now, when we become devotee, now it's spiritual, right? So now we don't do anything material. So when we meet people on the street, you know, and they say hi, we go, ooh, dirty karmi. And when we get into the house and, you know, anybody talks, oh, that's all mundane emotion. And, you know, we keep our stuff however we like because we don't care about all these mundanities. Right? Isn't it? No, you don't do that. No one you know does that. No. Pretty good. You have a nice temple here. Most everywhere else I know is whatever it was that they did materially, they don't do any of that. So they lose all their social ability because they think spiritual means that it can't be anything material in the way of form. But what is that concept? That's a Mayavad philosophy. Right? If there's emotion in the material world, spiritual must mean no emotion. Right? Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Does it make sense? Why didn't it make sense?
Because that's Mayavadi conception.
Yeah, it's Mayavadi conception. But the point is then we shouldn't have any problem in dealing with anything in the material world, because all that we change is now we do it for Krishna. Just like, let's say you have a car. Okay, it's your car. Would you take care of your car? Okay, now let us say it is Krishna's car. It belongs to the temple. Will we take care of it? Good. Because the one I watch drive by every day in front of my window that's full of devotees, the back is all rusted and everything's falling apart. And I guarantee if you go from temple to temple to temple, except for one or two temples, they're all falling apart. You go into the Brahmachari ashram, it's falling apart. You go into the bathrooms and showers, falling apart. Anything to do with Krishna, it's falling apart, except the deity room. And even that, it looks great this way. Ever gone into a deity room and looked this way? You know, here, all this nice thing. Go inside and look this way. If it's good, that means the people know what they're doing. But most places, you'll find back there, it's a disaster. So what you look at is beautiful, what Krishna looks at is terrible. You know, except for, of course, the loving devotees. But the deity room, from the deity's perspective, is less than nice. Right? And what's the idea? You know, who's going to see it? God, but hey, he's only one guy, right? You know? You understand? So where does that come from? It comes from Mayavad philosophy, because we think material and spiritual are opposite. They're opposite in consciousness, and that you're conscious of God or not, but in activity they're the same. Does that make sense? So does that answer your question?
Yes. The second question was that if there are two devotees and they have some common background on the material existence, mm-hmm. and that they maybe like some certain sports or certain kind of music.
Like metal, for example. Just throwing out.
So, if that becomes very prominent in your relationships,
if that becomes prominent in their relationship.
Yes, so...
if that becomes.
Yes, so is it then considered like a relationship, a spiritual relationship, or something mixed?
Oh, okay. So if they have a common point from before they were devotees of a material particular liking, and if their relationship is based on that, is it spiritual or material? So, according to your first question, how did we define spiritual?
That which is pleasing to Krishna.
Pleasing to Krishna, that which is connected to Krishna. So if that relationship, whatever that particular thing of the past is, if it's connected to Krishna, then is it spiritual or material?
If it's connected with Krishna, then it's spiritual.
If it's connected with Krishna, it's spiritual.
Okay.
So then?
It's not.
If it's not, it's not. It's that simple. Right? You just like to drive cars, it's material. You're driving the car nicely for Krishna, it's spiritual. You're doing the same thing. It's simply a change in consciousness. That's what Prabhupada says, you know, the famous, that Brahma Samhita address, you know? And he's reading from the Brahma Samhita there, that what is there's one doesn't have to change one's position, one only has to change one's consciousness. You change the consciousness, then everything else is fine. Then according to that change in consciousness, then you will see what is the better situation for you. Right? Does that make sense? So the person's a businessman, he's doing whatever he's doing. You just have to change his consciousness. You don't have to change anything else. Or he has to be a vegetarian. No, he has to change his consciousness. Become God conscious. Understand the process of God conscious, who he is. That changes his whole life changes, whole field Externally, it'll still be the same, but because now that mentality's changed, he's going to want to change his lifestyle to adjust with his mentality, right? Because which comes first, the gross or the subtle?
Subtle.
Subtle. Okay, so consciousness, which is the most subtle, changes. That will change how he thinks and what his desires are. That will change the externals of his lifestyle. Right? So we have to change consciousness, not anything else. Right? Now, if we can do that through just explaining the philosophy, nice. But if not, they're not into philosophy, then they need to take prasadam, you know, or listen to a kirtan. Whatever will put them in contact, and at some point, they'll want to know. Does that make sense? Is that okay? Right? So if you're sitting around with your friend talking about what would be the best way to distribute books of prasad at the metal concert, then that's not mine. Yes?
Some connection in the relationship of the Varnashrama and Dharma. It means when we are taking the principles of Varnashrama and Dharma, then we start to understand how to deal and have the relationship with the Dharma.
Okay. Means if we understand the Varnashram Dharma aspects, it makes it easier to understand how to deal in relationships. Because it's still the main thing. The main thing is not so much, you know, who's in, like if you meet a brahmachari, is the whole thing about you're the grihastha, he's the brahmachari? No, there's something else. You're doing some service and all that. So there may be certain things that are appropriate for you and not for him. Okay, we want to do this festival, and we want to decorate the temple room, and these two Matajis, they're the best at decorating, so we need to see if they can do it. Okay, now between the brahmachari and the grihastha, who would be the better one to ask? So, right? So the consideration would be there. But that the two of you are discussing how to do the festival, it's not, I'm the grihastha, you're the brahmachari. That's, you know what I'm saying? So, you will look at all the different things. That aspect is there, but you also have the aspect of, you know, what's your position, the seniority, you know, what is position, you know, generation, you know, like Prabhupada's disciples, next generation, like this, so many different things. Age is there, as we were discussing, you know, who's done, you know, notably more service and all that, you know, who has material ability. You know what I'm saying? So the person who knows how to organize would tell people who don't know how to organize what to do, not the other way around. So the point of the Vedic is making one aware of what are the actual elements of relationship that you need to consider. It's just making one aware of those things. Otherwise, in the modern, you know, it's like, even though people know you should be respectful to those who are older, at the same time as somehow or another, teenagers don't believe that. You know what I'm saying? So it just makes one aware of what are natural principles of the world. That's actually what the Varnashram does. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So in dealings, then these things are there. The point is that there is the dealing of occupation, so that will define one's occupation in Varna. There's dealings in one's own sadhana and personal development. What is the medium for that? That will define one's ashram. But as far as doing a specific service, you know, like worshipping the deities or leading kirtan, it has nothing to do with the varna or ashram, technically. You know what I'm saying? But the principle of relationship is still there. Does that make sense?
Second question is that when you explain this example that we are driving by car, we are trying to be sure and then but it all the time depends on the things which we learn.
Yes, things that we've learned.
Yeah, that I think that it is the basic of the relationship also have to be based on the learning how to do it.
Yes. Okay, this relationship, understanding relationship have to be based on learning. Yes. I mean, so that's why you'll find some people they have proper relationships. Generally you'll find if you check, it just happens naturally. Check is not no pun. So then, when you're dealing there, then you would see that there's a good chance their family knows how to deal, and so they picked it up by association. And so in that environment, they practice doing that. They don't know why, but they just do it. But you might be able to ask an older member of that family, they may be able to explain why, because either they were taught it, or they've been observing it so long, they're seeing the patterns and just know what to do. That's why older people generally have something interesting to say, just because they've been around a while, they're not so attached anymore, and they sit back and observe. They're not so much in the passion, the fire. Does that make sense? Otherwise, with the Vedic system, they make sure that the results would be gained, not haphazardly, but would be scientific. Therefore, education was there. So part of education is that training, the cultural training. It means the philosophy and the culture are basically non-different. Philosophy is the knowledge of relationship. Culture is the expression of it. That's all. They're not two different things. So that's the difficulty. Devotees learn the philosophy, but because of this Mayavad concept, impersonal concept, they think that culture can't be anything like before. But the principle is the same. The form may be different. Okay, we wear dhotis instead of wearing karmic clothes. But the karmic clothes, can you wear them just any way? Right? It means you go out here and the kids are in the street and they're all wearing black. But is it any kind of black? Is it any kind of t-shirt? Is there any, there's a specific way they wear it. If you look at them, they all look the same. You know, just the pants are longer or shorter. You know, or the t-shirt is a little bit, tighter or even a little bit more tighter. You know, like that. Or they have, a tattoo here and there. Would they put a tattoo where no one can see it? Does anyone have one right in the middle of their back? No, you have to put it down here so when you bend over you can see it from the underwear, or up here so you can see it on your neck, or in the front because you can see it in the cleavage, right? Or on your shoulder, right? Do they put it in their armpit? No. Right? So if they had it in your armpit, they'd go, well, that's stupid. Right? Bottom of your foot. That's between your toes. You know what I'm saying? So there's a specific way of doing things. So the clothes may change, but that you wear things in a proper way according to the tradition of that, whatever that is, that remains. So in other words, if someone could dress nice as a punk, or a goth, or an emo, or a gentleman, then they could dress nicely as a devotee. Because the principle stays the same, right? There, it's not that they have, the black pants and the black t-shirt don't match. They're two different kinds of black, No, they match. So therefore, when you're wearing orange, it matches. You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing. You wear it nicely, you wear it properly, according to what looks good in your tradition. You know what I'm saying? So the same thing is there. They greet each other. They have ways of greeting, whatever they say or whatever their particular hand gestures are, or ways of shaking or, hugging, whatever it is that they do, then that's there. So the devotees have their own. So the principle is the same. Why do they have that? Because that's the way it is in the spiritual circles. Right? Krishna meets the devotees, his interaction. Right? Mother Yashoda sees the gopis when they come to cook for Krishna. There's interaction. They offer obeisances, she hugs them, pats them on the head, does things like this. So the same thing happens here. So devotees make the mistake, well, the form's different, so everything's different. The Krishna consciousness isn't the form. It's the consciousness. It's the mood. So the consciousness changes, the mood changes, and if need be, the form changes. Right? We have a temple here. Do we not have a ceiling? Karmis all have ceilings. We're devotees. We don't have ceilings, right? We're free, we're open, connected to the cosmos, so we have no ceiling, right? Isn't it, So actually we would do best setting up at Stonehenge, right? That would be the ideal place to have, it's all nice and open. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the difficulty comes is we don't see the principle of relationship. We don't see actually what's working. So the Vedas are only defining actually what's real relationship. Because real relationship is connected with God. Right? And so, because He is relationship. Right? He is rasa. Right? Mother just showed us inner rasa. The gopis are inner rasa. The cowherd boys are inner rasa. Is what rasa is Krishna in? He isn't inner rasa. He is rasa. And so depending on how the devotee relates to Him, he responds. Right? And then does that make sense? So that's the point, is you respond to how the person wants to draw that out of you. So you have to know what your position is. Like that. You know, the child is hungry, so he wants to draw the mother feeding him from her. She could do so many things. She could go down to the spa, do her nails, you know, like that. But, you know, but she deals with the kid. Right? Because the kid, you know, is hungry. So that draws that motherly aspect from her. Does that make sense? So one has to know how that works. You know what I'm saying? That's the problem. Husband goes home, he's had a bad day, so he thinks it should all be about him. Right? But the point is it's not, because that's the feminine position. Feminine position, when he walks in the door, what mood his wife's in, she draws that from him. So she's happy, he responds that way. She's feeling grumpy, then he's careful about her. She's feeling sad, he tries to deal with that. Does that make sense? That's relationship. Does that make sense?
Yes. It's only one thing I think that Prabhupada was one day the talking that the woman is responsible for the mood of the relationship.
Yes. It's right there in First Canto of Bhagavatam. But no, maybe it's not. I'm not sure it is. No, I think he's talking about the third, when he's talking about Shiva and Parvati. That the woman defines the particular kind of affection that they have, right? Because depending on that mood, that's what's defined. She defines affection. Man takes part in it, right? Just why is that? God can involve in any way. But Mother Jashoda defines the kind of affection that they'll share. Right? The gopis define the kind of affection that they'll share. So the wife defines the kind of affection that will be tasted by the husband. Does that make sense? So that's why the husband has to be sensitive and aware or conscious of what it is. Otherwise, if he thinks it should be something else, it won't be. Because she defines it, not him. So if he wants, if he's looking for something in particular, then he should marry someone who that's how they would want it defined. That's what you have to figure out before you get married. Not just, it's nice sitting together. Is that okay? Yes. Yes.
How can we have a very good, fruitful relationship with the same spiritual advanced people?
How can you have a fruitful relationship? What do you mean by fruitful? It means like lots of berries or more in the way of like mangoes or those kind of things, or maybe a jackfruit, they're very large, you know. A good relationship. How to get advice from spiritually advanced people. Basically, you have to ask.
Yes, but it could be that
they're really busy. So
with other devotees. Maybe.
They're busy with other. But what do you mean by getting fruitful? So fruitful means
something
just like, let's say, for example, is this association here, is this fruitful? Would you call it fruitful?
In the sense it helps us make something. spiritual advancement.
It helps make spiritual advancement. So what do you mean other than that by fruitful? It means you specifically get to go and express your emotions and have them personally deal with you on your emotional basis, so you get the emotional satisfaction that I dealt with them. Is that what you mean by fruitful? Because if you do, then you have to look for those senior people who are willing to do that for you. Otherwise, find a good friend or get married. You know what I'm saying? You go to senior people for direction in spiritual life, not for all that emotional kind of interaction that you wanted to get from your mommy and daddy, but didn't, or you did, and you miss it now that you're, you know, 5,000, you know, how many thousand miles away from, you know, where the your mom's doing their cooking. You understand? In other words, the point is know what the relationship is. Right? You're staying spiritually advanced, that means that's what the relationship would be based on. Don't try to mix the emotions into it. And if they don't, if they respond, nice. If they don't respond, don't feel bad. Because that's not what they're supposed to do. You understand? So you have to be very careful about that. Yes.
Now that you have sometimes mentioned this principle that that the person who wants to be a rich is speaking about wealth all the time, and the real rich person tries to hide his wealth. So my present increasing consciousness.
I see. You're professing the Ramakrishna philosophy. He who knows does not speak, and he who speaks does not know. Is that what you're saying? Not exactly, but kind of. No, Krishna. But the point is devotees always talk about Krishna, no matter what it's connected to. It could be connected to any subject. It could be money, it could be management, it could be cooking, it could be cleaning, it could be preaching. But the point is it's Krishna. So in the spiritual world, they're always talking about Krishna in whatever may be their area of interest. Does that make sense? So that's there. What we're meaning is a businessman who's a real businessman talks business where talking business has effect. He doesn't talk business to show off. You understand? So when he's with other people that he does business with, he talks business. Right? But the person who thinks he's a big businessman, he will talk business when it's not necessary to talk business. You're out on a dinner date with some lady, you don't need to talk business because she doesn't care about your business. As long as it gets money, that you buy her nice things. You understand? So, therefore, talking in a way that's showing off, that's useless. Talking in a way that's the proper place for talking like that, that's what you do. You know what I'm saying? So even in Krishna consciousness, you don't say things, you know, you quote some shloka because, you know it, trying to impress everybody else with your Sanskrit or how much you know. That's, nobody really cares. But discussing Krishna consciousness nicely, everybody's happy. Is that okay?
Yep.
Yes, Bhakti.
I'm sometimes devotees have to kind of show off mood.
Show off mood, then we just discuss show off mood. Does that make sense? Yeah.
How does it, you mentioned to make the effort to see the relationship?
Make the effort to see the relationship.
With the connection, the Supreme, how does it, can you maybe explain more practically, and how does it affect the process, the relationship itself?
How does, in the process, seeing it in connection to the Supreme? It just depends upon your level, basically, your level of understanding. You try to see it. Means, is what you're doing pleasing to Krishna? That's the simplest. Right? Is this activities that Krishna would be pleased with? Right? That's the simplest, most direct. Other than that, then you have to see is, are you dealing with means this Krishna's material energy, it has its laws. Are you dealing according to those laws? Right? It means of the nature of things. Or if you're going lower than that, then you, are your activities being done in such a way that they get result, observable result? Right? No, that's the... Then, below that, then it's like, are the senses dealing with the sense objects in a way that is actually, you know, proper in how the experience will be proper? You understand? So one's on the level of bhakti, one's on moksha, one's on dharma, one's on artha, one's on kama. But the point is all that's coming from Krishna, so then you know it's Krishna's potencies that make it work. The reason that you do something and you get profit is because the concept of economics is Krishna. You know what I'm saying? But Krishna's economics is not as nice as Krishna is the son of Mother Yashoda, which will give more taste. Right? So, Krishna's Mother Yashoda, son of Mother Yashoda will give more taste. But since one is dealing in business and seeing it like that, then you also know these economics, and then you're dealing properly in that way.
On top of obtaining the goal, we see that the relationship, the situation in LMAX combined together to get into a goal and we discuss with other people. But at the same time, when we talk about situation and elements, the emotions also come into picture.
They're part of the scene. Right? Because emotions are going to be one's feelings about it, because that's the mind. So the mind is part of the field. So you have the senses, sense objects and all that. You have the mind, you have the intelligence, you have the consciousness. So you have to see all that.
But how do you deal with the emotions? I mean,
whatever the emotion is, that's what you start with. You know what I'm saying? If you want something to go somewhere, like let's say you want that mat over there to be on that side of the room, but you're sitting there, where do you start? Yeah, it means you have to get up, go over there. Then when you and the mat are in the same place, then you can, in the proper way, pick it up and take it over there. So the point is you have one idea, but the person's in a completely different mood. You have to go and contact that mood. From there, you can try to adjust that mood to what you want. But it has to move at the speed of the other person. That's the point. Right? When you have subject and object, right? Then the verb which connects them has to, it means the subject is operating, but it has to move at the speed and the comfort of the object. You know what I'm saying? You know, you want to be from here to there, you know, now, but the car won't do that. So you have to move at the speed of the car. Does that make sense? That's how a relationship works. The problem is people aren't willing to do that. They expect, well, the mat's got to come to you, then you'll take it over there. But why should the mat go over there? What does it care? You want to go over there, so you go over there. Isn't that what your women tell you? Yeah, so that's the point. You go over there, then... If you demand they come there, then they tell you, you go over there. Simple. This object may go crazy. And so then you're going to deal with crazy. Yes?
I want to ask about the spending aspect. In nowadays, women have to work, be a mother and be a wife. And what kind of advice would you give to a woman to maintain that mood at house? And what kind of advice would you give to the man to maintain that mood as well with the woman? Because women have much responsibility nowadays than before to just be a mother or to be at house, but you have to also work.
But the thing is she any less of a woman because she's working outside?
No, but she has a very bad day at work, and then she
right.
has to come home, she has to be very happy, for her family, for her kids, and for her husband, and everything in that way, so she cannot be ever mad or
Who said?
Usually the men in our society that come from East, in Israel, like that woman has to maintain everything in correct order. So what kind of advice would you give to the woman to maintain that, and what kind of advice would you give to the men to come forward in that respect, maintain a good relationship?
Problem is, there's only 2 minutes. Okay. If you had asked this question at the beginning of this, the point is I've been throwing out things for the last hour and a half, waiting for that question.
Okay, sorry.
Because what you have—that's why I turned to this side. Because this side will never ask that question because they think they're perfect.
Yes.
That's the problem. The men always think whatever they think is right. So the difficulty is which men think like that? It's actually men who are not trained. Look at it this way. It's the boy is there, right? And so especially you're talking from the East. Now, a mother from the East, how's she going to deal with the son? All affection, all like that. The daughter is that she's a woman, so she has to learn how to be one. Right? So there it's more of a senior junior, right? Like that. But the son, all attention is about the son, right? So now this son grows up thinking that feminine nature means it's all about me as a boy. Okay? Now when they grow up, then you know the hormones happen and all that, and so all they add to that equation is now you can have sexual relationships with women. You understand? But they expect that all women are going to deal with them as their mother did. Right? So basically, if you want to know how to survive, just think of the men in your house as big kids. That's all. It won't be that satisfying at all as a wife, but it will make things work. Because factually, that's what you are dealing with. It's just a big boy. That's all.
So it's very, very difficult to change them at this age.
It means you can change them by knowledge, but that changes if you can affect it through your dealings and all that over the years. Then you can soften it or refine it and all that. But only expect you'll be able to do it in private. In public, then they're always going to. In any case, even in the natural form, they're always the man, you know? But at the same time, as if it's done nicely, then they allow for the women to be a little bit more showy. Like, you know, formal things, men wear black and white, women wear colors, you know what I'm saying? So in that way, it's the aesthetic aspect is about the woman. And the fineness, and when you go to public programs, that the fineness, the atmosphere, it's all nice things for the women. But the control of it would be the men. You understand? But where you can have effect is in the home. Never try it, but don't even bother. Like that. You understand?
Don't bother to change it outside or to even try it.
Don't even bother trying. It means you can maybe get them to behave properly, stand properly, chew with their mouth shut, stop talking stupid things to another people. You know, those things you can do. But best is you explain it at some other time or you try. You only push as much as it will bend. If it breaks, then that was too much. You understand? So that's as good as it gets when you're dealing with that. If someone else can work on the other side to show the men how they should deal, as we just mentioned here, the masculine principle is adjusting to the feminine, right? That's the independence. The point is the feminine is a feminine nature. It won't change. It is what it is. It's dependent. But the masculine nature is independent, right? So it can function without the feminine. Right. But if they're going to deal with the feminine, then they deal with the feminine on the, you know, how you say, in the mood of the feminine. Like Krishna deals with Mother Yashoda as her son, because that's how she wants to deal with him. You understand? So that's actually male. You know what I'm saying? So when I'm saying they're just big boys, I'm being nice, I could take it further. But it gets too insulting. Okay? So that's as good as it gets. Like that. You know, you can try teaching your sons about what's the nature of women, how to deal like that. They'll know more, they'll be more sensitive as they grow up. Otherwise, in tradition, what they do is they go to Gurukul in the Vedic system, then they learn what is a man, because they're away from women. They're in a man's world. Gurukul means it's not a woman's world. Even the teacher has a wife, but she may interact with the kids, and she interacts on his standards. It's not hers. When they go into the house, then the husband has to deal with, on his wife's terms. But out in the school, then it's on his terms. So they become aware of their surroundings, because they have to do all the things that women would do. They have to clean, they have to cook, they have to take care of everything like that. Then they become aware of what it is. Then you can convert the boy into a man. Otherwise, boys don't turn into men. Girls turn into women like that. It's one day, and they're women. But boys, you have to turn them into men. Otherwise, what they generally turn into is punks. That's natural. But they turn the punk into a man. So something has to be there. Either the girl cool, they went to the army. You know, you have a tradition where, you know, the boys, when they're 12, they go out with the men and they farm, or they build the barn, or they hunt, or, you know, something is there that they're away from the women's world and they learn how to be independent. Those men, they can deal properly. You understand? But if that's not there, then they're just going to be big kids and they expect you to do everything for them. Because that's what their mom did. So to them, that's what a wife is. The wife is your mom that you can have sex with. That's basically all it is. It's not any more developed than that, really. Unless there is some tradition in their house that defines it differently. You know what I'm saying? They come from a tradition that they deal differently with their women, or nicer, or more considerate, or like that. But otherwise, depending upon how far east you are, then generally the farther west you go in the east, then the more kind of rough and manly they become. You know, and the farther east you go, then it's a little bit more fine. Like if you go all the way to the Orient, what duties each one does, there's no definition. Each one of them can do anything in the house. But it's very clear, the masculine nature and feminine nature. They can wear the same clothes, do the same jobs, do everything. But you can tell the difference. But as you go farther west, then it starts to get more, somehow there's more ego there. That's as good as you can get in 7 minutes. It means it'll work. It doesn't mean you'll be satisfied fully as a woman, you know, as a wife, but it'll work as you've got 3 kids in the house. You know what I'm saying? It'll work. Just one's a little bigger and demands a little bit more. Guess we'll end here. And then, when's the next time? Yeah, the afternoon. When's the next one of these ones? Sunday. So if you have more questions going off of the question she brought up on Sunday, then that would be the time. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
jai,
Jai Vibha Bhaktivinoda ki
jai,
Jai Govinda ki jai.